Let's worship him.
Oh, I can't even run without you holding my hand. Oh, the mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I've learned to stay. And I can't
good to be a Christian tonight. My, what would you do if you weren't? Tell you what, folks, just look around you a little bit. Everything the prophet, everything the Bible said is happening. The world gets darker and darker, but brother and sister, if the world is getting darker, that means the light is getting lighter too. And we see that happening also. And brother and sister, I just tell you what, the more I go through this life, the more I want to go home.
Amen.
And I enjoy this life. I have a lot of good times. I have fun. I do things that I really, and I am so thankful that God has allowed me to do a lot of good things, but I want to go home. I want to go home. I believe that Christians should be able to enjoy this world more than anyone else because we're the only ones in our right mind to begin with. But I tell you what, it's just getting too crazy out there, folks. So the crazier, the saner we get, the closer we are to getting out of here. And I just believe it that we're really close, folks. I know we've been saying that for years and years, ever since I was a kid. The rapture's at hand. And here I'm almost 54 years old, and it's like, yeah, the rapture is at hand. It really is. And we're seeing more and more evidence. So, brother and sister, let's press on and get out of here, all right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that, Father, in the midst of all the things we see around us, Lord, that we can have a place of comfort, a place of rest, where we can come, Lord, and just relax in you and know that it's all in your hands. And Father, you won't put more on us than we can handle, and you won't let something happen to us that is beyond your control, Lord Jesus. But Father, we just can just relax and trust you and know that you're going to take care of us, Lord, all the way through to the end, whatever that would be, Lord. So we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come here tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your word, to hear what you have to say, Lord, knowing that it's going to be exactly what we have need of, Lord. And Father, just let the word meet the needs. Let it raise our faith. Let it create such a love in our hearts, Lord Jesus, for you that the attractions of the world just fade away, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I can tell, Father, that's happening. I see it happening, Lord, as we get more and more just like you and closer to you, Father. So tonight, Lord, just come and meet the needs of your bride. Lord, I pray for the ones who aren't here tonight that you would watch over them, strengthen them, Lord, and Father, draw them back towards you even closer than they are now, Lord. We just ask this in your name. Amen. If you turn in your Bible to Ephesians, the first chapter, we'll read several verses in Ephesians and be seated. We will be continuing on with the thought I've been having about the threefold purpose, and we're in the secondfold purpose, talking about Christ gaining preeminence in his body, the bride. So Ephesians 1, and we'll start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I think we're going to preach on that verse Sunday, Lord willing. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You may be seated. Let's just look at these scriptures, a couple of verses here a little bit, just to get a place to start off from. And it says, according as he hath chosen us. Okay, so who made the choice? He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Brother Branham said this way. He said, one day he was walking down the road and he said, I looked around. He said, I realized it wasn't the Son of my earthly mom and dad, Charles and Ella Branham. I was a son of God. He came to the earth, the Son of God. Brother and sister, you come to the earth a child of God. You are predestinated. Predestinated. God knowing what you would choose. And brother and sister, you cannot take away the fact that you have to make a choice because you are here as a free moral agent. Well, you say, well, then how can you both make a choice? When you got married, brother, did you ask your wife to marry you? You made a choice, right? She can say yes or no, right? If you're married, she said yes. This is not an arranged marriage. This is not your mom and dad said, okay, listen, you're going to marry that guy, you're going to marry that girl. No, it's not the way God did it. He said, I give you the choice just like I have a choice. But knowing that we were going to choose because he knew where it came from, then he ordained it and predestinated for you to be saved. Think about it. When did he do this? It was in his mind before the first Adam was ever struck, brother and sister. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has predestinated us to be holy and without blame. Oh my. The next time the devil tells you you can't overcome something, would you please take him to this verse? I have been predestinated to be holy and without blame. Now, what else do you have to say? Well, you stumbled. You made a mistake. Yes, I did. And you are going to go to hell and perish, and I'm going to heaven forever. Oh, my. Come on. Let's get beyond this stuff, brothers and sisters. Let's get beyond what Satan just kicks us around every time we make a mistake or our mind gets all twisted about something. Let's go beyond that, and let's start flying up where the eagles fly, not down here with our mental intellect and the old man age. We're supposed to be in the eagle age where it's by revelation, and we're up here. We see it from a far distance. We see heaven in the distance, and it's getting closer. And when Satan takes you back down and tries to get you all tore up about what's happening here, we say, I'm not in that age. I'm already flying above it. Walk by revelation. Quit walking by feelings. Quit walking by sensations. Quit walking by this and that. Walk by revelation, what God has revealed to you. He said, you are going to be holy and without blame. You've been predestinated to be that person. He did more than just predestinate to save your soul. He predestinated you to be without blame and holy in his sight. That's a pretty good place to be predestinated. Now, my question to you is, when are you going to start believing that? Well, Brother Phil, you don't understand. I just can't overcome some things in this life. I tell you why not. Your confession. You just said it. Yep. Live up to your confession. I just can't overcome it. Bingo. You're right. Because you're down here and reasoning it down in the man age back here in the old Pentecostal area where you're trying to figure this stuff out. Well, how does this work? Well, what if I can't do this? Well, what if? Well, just quit. Take what the word says and get up above all that. You know what's going to happen? That what is currently besetting you, that thing you can't overcome, those besetting sins, brother and sister, they will disappear. Yes, they will. How do you know, Brother Phil? Because I am a walking, talking testimony. I've experienced it. I ain't just preaching a doctrine. I'm talking what God has done for me. And he's done it for some of you folks, too, because I've seen him do it. Well, are you perfect, Brother Phil? Come on. Don't even go there. We are going to make mistakes every day of our life until you get a body change. Every single day. My. Surely that we're not going to let Satan kick us around on that kind of stuff anymore. Don't you get kicked around, Brother Phil? Of course I do. I'm a human being. Quit. Look, if you're... I don't know why I'm going here. Look, brother, if these things are... Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about this? What about... Well, but this hasn't happened. But this... But what about... Who's talking when you're saying that? Well, I know that's good for you, Brother Phil, but what about, okay, take your old ideas in. Take your old arguments from the devil. Live that low life of crawling around in the mud. Oh, you'll still be saved, but you're going to come out of that mud and crawling around down there, brother and sister. You are going to fly with the eagles because that's what you are ordained to do. So get up out of here and go. Get up out of the mess. I'm not talking about get up and got to go to church. I'm talking about get up out of all that, those thoughts down there where you let Satan just drag you down and just kick you around. So weak sometimes, brother and sister, because we choose to confess, I just don't know, Brother Phil. Well, this is what's going on. And we're looking at all this evidence around us instead of all the evidence just right above us. It just depends on what evidence you want to look at. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Jesus has predestinated us to be adopted by himself. He's going to adopt us to himself. We're his kids. And that's pretty good. So whose child are you? This is so amazingly powerful if we would just simply only believe. Only believe. Well, Brother Phil, okay, then don't only believe. Just get kicked around a few more days or weeks or months until you decide that you're really sick of your own self and your own thoughts and your own nature, and then you start only believing. Your choice. He's already gave his choice. He said, I choose you. I'm asking you to be my bride. Now, you don't have to be. Like I said, it's not an arranged marriage. You don't have, arrange marriage. Well, you tell your daughter, well, you're going to marry this guy because this is what your mom and I decided who you're going to marry. Well, I personally would not want to live in that kind of culture. It's fine with the people who are used to that, grow up in that. I wouldn't like that. Maybe I would have got married. Maybe that's what I needed. But the point is, what if you got to marry some you don't love? Well, you learn to love them, right? Sometime you do, sometime you don't. But at least I like to make a choice, make my own decision, make my own mistakes. Amen? God doesn't want you to, well, you have to love me because I'm forcing you to love you. He does not force you to love him. He doesn't force you to accept him. He doesn't force you to accept the preaching here tonight. He did not force you to come to church tonight. He said, you are a free moral agency. Do whatever you want. But that's why he wants, because if you choose to love him, he knows your love is real just like his is. If you choose that you want to serve him, it's because your choice that he can trust you. It's not a forcing. He don't force you to be a Christian. But now he can make it awful miserable for you if you choose not to. But everybody fights their way to heaven or fights their way to hell. You're fighting something, brother and sister. You say, well, I'm not miserable like you Christians are. Woo, you must be extremely happy because I am not miserable. Oh, I wouldn't want to have to do, I follow all those rules. You have to, okay, well, you follow the devil's rules. You're following somebody's rules. Just depending what spirit you're of. Let me read this quote. Christ is a mystery. Just get us right on target. Now, the threefold purpose. Remember, that's what we're talking about this whole time. Manifest himself in Jesus Christ. To come into the body of Jesus Christ. To have the preeminence to what? To restore back Eden. Now, he just named all three of them. Manifest himself in Jesus Christ. To come into the body of Jesus Christ. To have the preeminence to what? What is this body of Jesus Christ he's talking about? It's you. He just literally called you the body of Jesus Christ. To have the preeminence in that body to do what? To restore back Eden, everything Adam lost. Bring back that which was lost. All right? But he had to put man on free moral agency to fall so that he might be a savior to display what's in him, his attributes of savior. Something had to be lost. The very thing that man fell and became lost, he became the savior of that, taking his own law. He could not do that as a great Jehovah that covered all space and time. He couldn't do that. He had to become a man, and he took kinship with man, that was lost and became a man, God made flesh. So that's where we're starting again tonight, brother and sister. We see that all in a very quick nutshell. Now we are again talking about him taking preeminence in his body, this very bride, all right? But he did this, brother and sister. He did this by putting you on free moral agency, just like Adam and Eve. He had to put them on free moral agency so they could fall. He could display his attributes. He puts you on free moral agency. You came to the world fallen nature, but he put you on new free moral agency so you could be saved. You get to choose. Do I like heaven? Do I like hell? Do I like God? Do I like Satan? Do I like God? Do I like myself? My old nature and my new nature. What is it that I want? He said, we're all born a free moral agent to make any decision we wish to. God justly does that because he must put every man on that basis, or he put the wrong man on the first man he put on the wrong basis and we put him on free moral agent. See, we're just exactly tonight like Adam and Eve. There's no difference. Right and wrong sets before either one of us. Life and death, we can make our choice. It's up to you to make it. That's the way Adam and Eve did. You see, they made the wrong choice. It's right there, brother and sister. You cannot blame anyone else. You can't blame your family. You can't blame your pastor. You can't blame the president. You can't blame anything else if you end up in hell. You got to choose for yourself. It's your choice. So you said, well, why would people choose differently? Why would they choose to go to hell? Especially people who are Christians, claiming to be Christians, message believers, and yet choosing hell. The only way that could be is if they are blind. Their minds have been turned to a reprobate mind because they did not receive a love for the truth. That is such a powerful statement, brother and sister, because so many good people, they live such a good life. They're the Pharisees of today, brother and sister. You can't put a finger on their life. And yet when Christ manifests himself, they still choose to turn him down. Why? Because Jesus Christ is a very unpopular person. He always has been. He always will be. Religious people just don't like him very well. They don't. Religious people do not like God. He said, now that put the whole race, the human race, under death, the penalty of death. And then God came down in a form of a man and took that death and paid the penalty of death that his subjects that desire to be free could go free. So, brother, sister, again, it's your desire. Do you want to be free? You say, well, I just have this thing that's besetting sin, or I have this addiction, or I have this thing I really struggle with. Brother and sister, it's your desire. You want to get rid of something, you have to come to a place where you really don't desire to have it anymore. Because we ask God to set us free, and we're holding on to it with both hands. White knuckle, holding on to that addiction, and at the same time, God, please take this from me. Your addiction is your comfort, brother and sister. There's something comforting about that. Well, how do I get rid of it? Just keep going on. Keep going for it. Keep coming to church, and the word is going to bust that thing in the face, and it's going to set you free. Yes, sir. It really will. And it might happen just like that in a second. It might happen over a six-month period. It might happen over 10 years, but you will be set free. I wish it all happened just like snap of the finger, boom, it's gone, and boom, it's gone. But that's not how God does it, because he says, walk in faith. And faith is I take God at his word and I keep going, never confess anything else but what he told me. When he said I can be free, then I'm going to confess I can be free. I don't care how many times I stumble over that same thing. I can stumble over it 1,000 times, but he said I was free, then I'm free. Now, see, walking in that kind of faith is it's a battle. Why should I have to do that when God can just come and take it away just in an instant? Because he doesn't want you to be a spoiled brat. His subjects that desired to be free could go free. He took us without the same way that he, I'm sorry. Now, if he took us without the same way that he did Adam and Eve, just pulled us through something and said, I'll save you whether you want to be saved or not, then he put Adam and Eve on the wrong basis. Each one of us has to choose this day between death and life. We get to do it. He didn't say, well, I predestinated you, Brother Paul. I'm going to save you whether you want to be saved or not. He did not. That is not God's predestination. He said, I predestined you, Brother Paul. What are you going to do? Well, he knows Brother Paul is going to choose life. And so that's why he predestinated him to it. He knew Brother Paul from the beginning, way before the beginning of the world. He was chosen back there. He said, do you want life? Yes, I do. Well, I got the way prepared. My. Look at Eliezer. Abraham, go get a wife for my son Isaac, right? He'll say, Eliezer took off. He said, go to the far country for my own kin. He said, don't get one of these other denominational people. Go to the real believers. And Eliezer went off to get this person. And he got there to the place after his long, he said, now I don't have any idea who to choose. So he started praying. He said, God, if you'll just show me which one it is. He said, let the one who comes and, you know the story, why was my camel's exact, I'm not exactly sure how it went. This girl comes down, she does it. He tells her what's going on, takes him back to her home. He said, now look, we got all this evidence. God told me this. He said, this is you. And I got these camels, and I can tell you all about Isaac, and I can tell you about this rich, my rich master, and I would like to take you there. And all this evidence before her. And then they said, but you, Rebecca, have to choose. She could have said, I don't want to go. She could have chose something else, but it was up to her, and she looked around. Her family didn't want her to go. They said, hey, it's up to her. And she could have said, you know what? I love my family too much to go off on this strange journey. I love my comfortable life too much to go and listen to that kind of preaching. I love my own, my current church and my current pastor and my current soft Laodicean lukewarm life too much to get all stirred up about someone preaching. You know, Brother Bram said how God will get two people together to have a child, and two other people get together, and they have a child, then those two get together. He said to bring out the right ting in the person. He said it was like making a bell where you get the right amount of brass and tin and copper and you iron, and you melt it all together until it gets the right sound to the bell, the right ting. He said that's the way God does for you. He gets this one with this one and this one with this one until you get it right together, and then he's got the right character, that person, to fit the need for that hour, to fit the need for that relationship, to fit the need for that believer, whatever it is. God's not just sitting off and people come on earth and he says, wonder who's around here who I can get to believe. He knows, brother and sister. He's got it all in control. He didn't sit around and say, I need a prophet for the last age. I wonder if anyone's going to be born with a prophetic gift so I can use that person. No, he predestinated and he put a person, a little baby born in Kentucky, going to grow up in a certain situation to make sure that that character is molded, and he's going to go through all kinds of trials so that he could get that prophet to a place where he totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. Well, he does the same for you and I, brother and sister. We're not just like a crapshoot where you just throw out the dice and see what comes up. He knew. He got the right person. You have the perfect parents for what you need. Well, my bad dad, she did this, and my mom did this, and whatever. Whatever. He knows what it takes to put us in heaven, brother and sister. He knows what it takes to put you in the rapture, to make a believer out of you. There ain't no chaos to this. God's way is very ordered. And he said, now I give you a choice. And Satan comes along, and Satan's job is to say, you don't really have a choice. If he can get you to believe that you don't have a choice, he's got you by the throat. Because it's going to be so hard. Because you know what he says? You aren't predestinated. You really weren't predestinated, so no matter how much you want to serve God, you can't, because you weren't called to it. Said many are called, but few are chosen. So it wasn't you. And he gets so many people walk out the church because, well, I guess I wasn't predestinated because I prayed and I went to church for 3 years and nothing happened, so I guess it's not for me. Talked you right out of it, saying you don't have a choice. Well, you're never going to get born again. It's not for you. You're never going to get it. You've been going to the church for 20 years. You're not born again. You're never going to be born again. Talking people. Have you heard him say that? Well, you know what? You're just Judas. I bet you he said that to every person in here multiple times. Because Judas stuck around to the very end. Isn't that a good one? That's like a hammer, doesn't it? Boom! Let me tell you something. All Rebecca had to do was choose. The only thing that would keep her from choosing to go with Eliezer was her love for her current situation. And she chose to go. Now, if you choose to go, you could start on the journey. And the problem is many people start on that journey and they decide, you know what? I love what I left better than this. Israel came out of Egypt and they decided, I really wish I would have stayed in Egypt under that slavery. I was more comfortable. And they go back. And thousands of message believers have done exactly that. They've gone back. Well, they still go to message church, but in their heart, they've gone back and they've turned their religion into a denomination organized religion. It's the most pitiful thing I can think of. But Satan comes to you to try to take away your choice that says you really don't have any choice. You don't have any control over this. You can pray and pray. You're really never going to be born again. You can pray and seek God. It's really not for you. He's trying to take away your choice. And the reality is, if you choose to believe, it's for you. It's really that simple. When Satan comes, he says, well, you're never going to get born again. You say, I've already chosen to be born again. I've chosen to believe. I can't help but be born again. Well, it ain't happened yet. Nope. What's that got to do with it? What, you putting God on a timer or something, devil? Just don't change your mind. Make up your mind and stick with it. I'm going in. And then if you do that in faith, you're going to watch that faith take control and start doing things for you, like making sure you get to church when you're supposed to be in church. And when the word comes that hurts your feelings, you're going to recognize, yeah, it's still the truth. I'm going to go ahead and accept it anyways. That's the way you get rid of all that junk in your mind that keeps you from being born again, that keeps you being religious, that keeps you being legalistic, that keeps you believing the wrong doctrines, that keeps you hybriding the word. And the word comes to set you free, but we like those old things because it's our comfort. I'm going to run out of time. Let me keep going. Brother and sister, look. Point I'm trying to make right here is you get to choose. Do not let Satan tell you you don't get to choose. God has called you. Every person in here, if you're in here, he has called you. He said, do you want to be my bride or not? Well, then why would you let someone come along and talk you out of that? Well, I don't like the way you preach, Brother Phil. Okay, well then use your dislike for my preaching and go to hell then. You really think you're gonna be happy on Judgment Day? Well, you chose not to believe. Well, I don't like Brother Phil's preaching. All right, your choice. There you go. Big old hell waiting for you. Little bit of pride got in the way and you couldn't surrender yourself, you couldn't humble yourself, and so you decided, I would rather go to hell than humble myself to Brother Phil's preaching. Wow. I sure hope no one stands on Judgment Day with that kind of mess. Look, if you don't like my preaching, fine, just make sure you humble yourself to Brother Jerry's, okay? He's your pastor. As long as you humble yourself to Brother Jerry's preaching, you're going to be okay. But I fully believe if you humble yourself to Brother Jerry's, you'll humble yourself to mine, because I believe it's the same Holy Spirit who's preaching. And if I didn't believe that, I would sit down and shut up immediately. Because I don't want to be standing on Judgment Day and, what were you preaching? I don't know. No! I don't come up here with my own ideas. This isn't about me. Predestinated. All sons and daughters of God are predestinated. All right? We are predestinated. Why? Christ is the original seed, and this original seed was predestinated by the foreknowledge of God. Jesus Christ himself was predestinated to come to earth. Why? Because, let me see, Christ, I'm sorry, knowing that the fall would come and predestinated him to take our place. You get it? All sons and daughters of God are predestinated. Jesus Christ, God knowing the fall would come, he, from the Garden of Eden, before that, but in the Garden of Eden, he said this one is coming, the seed was gonna bruise the Satan, the serpent's head. My goodness. You know what I'm talking about. You fill it in. He knew he was coming. He didn't just sit around and walk out, I hope that Messiah shows up one day. I wonder who it's going to be. No, he went and he said, I found I raised this one little woman up. She's a virgin. She's the right thing. And I'm going to place my seed in her. And it's going to bring forth this Christ that was predestinated before the foundation of the world. It's the Lamb of God. Knowing that the fall is going to come, knowing he's going to take our place, and he predestinated him to be here. But there's no point in predestinating him if there's not somebody to accept what he did for us. He didn't sit there wringing his hands, I sure hope someone accepts my sacrifice. He didn't do that. He knows you're going to be here. You say then, would he condemn? No, sir. You're here a free moral agent. He's not going to just condemn you. Well, you weren't predestinated, so you're condemned to die. No, you are a free moral agent. And on Judgment Day, there's a part of this that in my mind, I cannot make it make sense. Let me be honest with you. But on Judgment Day, if you stand there and you don't go to heaven, you are going to be totally justified to go to hell because you chose it. There is not going to be an excuse. Well, I wasn't predestinated, God, so I couldn't make it. No, because then God would be unjust, and God is not unjust. You're here on a free moral agent. The reason that he knew, he being God, the infinite one, he foreknew everything that would be, he knew who they was. Now, he didn't make Eve do that. He didn't make her do it, but he knowed she would. He said, no wonder I believe in the 12th chapter of Luke. He said, they got eyes, but they don't see. They got ears, but they don't hear. Isaiah well spoke of them. Isaiah foresaw you. And there they were sitting there with eyes and ears and everything else, but yet they can't see. Why? They are a repellent to the word of God. My, what is a repellent? If you have rain repellent clothing on, the water hits and it just runs off. It doesn't soak in. My! How many times have there been repellents sitting on these pews and the word comes, but it doesn't soak in? Why not? Because there's a repellent there that I don't want to accept that word. I choose not to. It's your choice is the repellent. And all you have to do is change your mind and it soaks right in. How do you know, Brother Phil? Because I am an example of that happening. And so are most of you. You know you sat there with an attitude and that attitude was repellent. And that word would come and it would just fall right off. It would just wash right off, just fall right off. And then one day you got to a point where you said, I can't live like this anymore. I need a change. And your attitude changed. And all of a sudden that word started soaking in. And you said, I'm free. Why? Because you changed your attitude. You're repellent. My. They are a repellent to the word of God. Then Jesus said, oh, you hypocrites, you are the children of the devil and his works you do. My, when I see Savior talking like that to people. And I just say, oh, what love. What a loving, kind, gentle God he is. He said, that ain't love. Yes, it is. Because he's going to tell me the truth. Hallelujah. I can trust him. He's going to tell me the truth no matter what it makes me feel like. He's going to make sure that I have every opportunity to be saved. He said, you might hate me for this. You might crucify me for this. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen, you are the children of the devil. His works you do. Then condemn me, he said. Refuse my ministry. Hallelujah. He said, look what I'm doing. Show me in the word where I'm not fulfilling the word exactly what the Messiah is supposed to do. And they said, we can't do that. He said, but yet you refuse me. He said, then the soul that sins, it will die. You refuse from your soul to believe. And they were Pharisees, and you couldn't put a finger against them. They lived good, holy lives. Show me where your ministry is producing the full word of God as his was. They chose to refuse his ministry. That's not the kind of God we want to serve. That is not the kind of God we want as our king. My, how he loves us. Let me go to a different place. I'll get right back to this quote. He said, watch down through the age. Whenever that light hits some, they turn it away and flash it away. Great intellectuals and then the great priests standing there, the rabbis, the great teachers in authority, different ones like Nicodemus and them, polished in scholarship. He couldn't even understand it. There are these great priests stood out there, the rabbis who taught in that word. They knew it intellectually. He said, you are of your father, the devil. His works you'll do. They knew this message. They know it. They know exactly what the prophet said. They can preach it amazingly beautiful. And he said, you are of your father, the devil. His works you'll do. What was it? Refusing the ministry of God. Refusing the ministry of Christ, I should say. Repellent. Think of it. Holy men, you couldn't put your finger nowhere on their lives or their father's or their great-grandfather's life, great-great-great-great-grandfather's life. Here stands Jesus calling out a bunch of devils, religious people. Why? Brother Branham said, that woman at the well, she had representation. Those priests down at the temple didn't have representation. They never had it. Because God knew they were not going to believe. There was no seed there. Where's that representation? It's in your soul, brother and sister. It's in your soul. It's not in your mind. It's something much deeper than that. Let me get back to this quote. God in the beginning commissioned Adam and Eve to multiply and replenish the earth. That's how sex was given. That's why it was. But what caused the hybriding? What brings death? In this, God foresaw and predestinated a world of sons and daughters. He predestinated them to be there. And because of hybriding, which is disbelieving God's word, caused a hybriding. God put it right back again that you don't have to be hybrid anymore. Adam and Eve came saved, and they made a wrong choice. They sinned and brought sin. But brother and sister, you came to the world lost, but you don't have to be lost. You don't have to be hybrid anymore. You get the same choice. You get to be saved. You can come right back to the original word and be a son of God just like you were supposed to be at the beginning. Excuse me. Why would someone choose to remain hybrid? Well, one thing is hybrid is much prettier and more attractive than the original. It's much better tasting. It's more comfortable. And you don't have to die to yourself to be a hybrid. You just have to get religious. Your own nature enjoys that hybrid religion. It does. And that hybrid religion can do so much more than the original when it comes to works. Brother Branham talked about that hybrid mule. He can outwork the original. It can outwork a horse. It can outwork a donkey. I saw up by Gallatin this weekend, I saw a cross between a zebra and a donkey. They called it a Z-donk. Pathetic looking thing. Little donkey with all these zebra stripes on it. It's sterile. It can't breed back. It can't bring any life. It might be, oh, it was cute. It was pretty, you know, it was like, you know, something you see. Oh, look at that. Look at that cute. We thought it was a zebra at first. No, it's not. It's a Z-donk. Can you bring forth life, Mr. Z-donk? He don't even know what to neigh or bray or do whatever. You get some really good-looking, cute little Christians. Oh, they can live a pretty life. Look how well they dress. And they know exactly what the prophet said. And they can worship so beautifully. Where's the life? Can you bring forth life? Or is your religion sterile? But it sure looks good. Christ couldn't help being what he was. He was the Son of God. That's it. See what I mean now? He couldn't help being who he was. When he was born, he grew up, he realized who he was. He realized what he'd been predestinated to be. Oh, don't just put that off on him. Haven't you done the same? Haven't you realized that you were predestinated to this? Let me put it this way. Why don't you try and leave? Why don't you decide I'm just going to sit home for a while? I'm just kind of tired of going to church. I really don't really care anymore about all this. You know better than that. See, if you are intended, you see the Word of God, you believe it. If you are intended, then you see the Word of God and you believe it. You are not a repellent. Because why? There's something new. Why? Have you ever heard of a strain in a family? A son will kind of impersonate his father or mother or grandfather or grandmother. That strain in the family. You've heard of it, haven't you? What is that strain? You can look at little Michael and you can see David all over in him. There's a strain that has gone from father down to son. Oh my. This ought to make us happy. Because I can look in the Bible and I can see the characteristics of my father and I can see the same strain in me. I can see the strains of my father in you and I say, oh, we must be brother and sisters. We must have the same genes. We must have the same father. Why? Because we are starting to look the same. Hallelujah. My, that makes me happy. Think about it. How do you know who you are? I'm starting to look a lot like my dad. Yes, sir. Now that ought to be enough to send us home happy. That was worth coming to church for. Because I see Papa in you. I see Papa in me. What do you talk about? The character. I see a faith that is not human faith. I see love that's not just a human love. I see grace that's not a human grace. I see works that are not done by a human being. I see Jesus Christ living in flesh. He looks just like Jesus Christ. My. Well, I see a lot of problems. I see a lot of faults. You talking like this about it. Well, I could tell you some things about people around here. Go ahead, devil. Talk all you want. I'm flying above that because I'm an eagle. You get down here and try and drag people down and drag this and say this and about that and that person's doing this and whatever. Go ahead. You're going to find that my ears are plugged up. I'm not listening to you because I'm so far above that right now that I'm flying in the heavenlies and I hear the voice of my Father and he's calling to me. He said, come up higher. Yes, sir. That's what we're coming to, brother and sister. That's the bride that Jesus is looking for. She's listening for his. You know, we like to hear how God, he, you know, our husband whispers his love secrets. That's what he's doing now, right? Let me tell you something. He wants to hear your love secrets too. Don't make this a one-way communication, brother and sister. He speaks to us. Make sure you talk back. Tell him how you feel about him. Oh, yeah. Brothers, how would you like to tell your wife, you know, I sure love you, and she says, Okay, some of you might go through that. I don't know. But that's not a good, healthy relationship. God says, I love you. He wants to say, boy, I love you too. Tell him what he means to you. Just have a little conversation sometime. My, you're going to see, you know what's going to happen? He's going to step off the stone. He's going to say, y'all stand out of the way. I'm going to dance like David danced. Say, you think God does that? Yes, I do, because that's what he does in us. It's the same strain. Oh, my. The strain in the family, the faith of Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ, the love of Christ, the works of Christ, the grace. Oh, what else? The healing of Christ. What else do you want? The salvation of Christ pouring through his bride, reaching out to anybody. How is he going to save people? Through you. You're beginning to look just like Papa. Oh, Papa God, I love you. You believe the word. You know what Jesus had to do? He came up, he grew up, he recognized who he was. You know what he had to do with the word? He had to believe it. You have to believe it just like he believed it. He saw who he was in there. He went out and he allowed that word to flow through him and performed what he was supposed to do, choosing to let it happen. You and I get to do the same thing because we are joint heirs. The strain is becoming predominant in his bride. That old strain of the world is fading away. The dominant genes has taken over. My. That's the strain in the family. You've heard of it, haven't you? Well, that's the same thing from predestination. You are supposed to be here in the right way at the beginning. We're all supposed to be here the right way at the beginning, except for the fall. But being that you're predestinated, you hear the word, and it brings you right back where you were predestinated. You're predestinated to hear the word. That's why you hear the word. Never saw that before, he said. Brings you right. And what makes you believe the word of God and turn down these other things? Why is that you're in here and you're not a repellent, but you soaking up the word of God? Why is that that you're there and that next person who was there last week ain't there? Why did you stay and other people leave? Let me read that again just so you know what he's talking about. What makes you believe the word of God and turn down these other things? He's going to tell us. It's because you were. There's something in you. Way back yonder, you were supposed to. You are made to live here forever. You came to the world with this in you. There's something in you. He says it right here. That's why you accepted it, brother and sister. That's why you chose to believe. My. Way back yonder you were supposed to. You are made to live here forever. Then, brother and sister, this is not a choice. When you choose, it's not a choice that's happening in your mind. It's not the strength of your mind, brother and sister. It's your soul that chooses to believe or disbelieve. There's only two endless to your soul. One is faith, one is doubt. And from your soul, you believe because you had a seed of God in there. That seed of God could not disbelieve. You say, well, if I didn't come with the seed of God in me, then what can I say? The reason you don't have a seed of God is because you are not going to believe anyway, brother and sister, and God knows you're not going to believe. You're not going to stand there with an excuse on judgment day and say, well, I didn't have a choice. Yes, you did. Everyone gets a choice. And Brother Branham said he's even raising the heathen during the millennium to give them a chance. now find fault with God's predestination. Let me finish. Boy, I got plenty of time. Sorry, y'all. No, I'm just playing. We got one more quote. In him was attributes to be Father, to be Son, to be Savior, nothing lost. Something had to be lost, so there had to be a way made for it. To be healer, nothing sick, so he had to have something get sick so he could heal it. It's only displaying his attributes. And now remember, if you ever will have eternal life, you had it with him then. See? You had it with him because Jesus came and Jesus was the Redeemer. To redeem anything, bring it back from where it's fallen from or went from. Redeem it, bring it back. And you, the way you look or who you are or what your name is, that was God's thinking before the foundation of the world. And Jesus came not to save the whole thing. Isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't come to save the whole thing. He wanted to. My. He wanted to, but he came to redeem, bring back them that was in his thoughts before the beginning. He came and he wanted to save the whole world, just like you and I would love to see the whole world saved. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be great to see everybody saved? Oh my. But he only could buy back that which was lost. That which was with him from the beginning. That's the reason he was the Word made flesh. God was in Christ reconciling the Word to himself. Let me just say that. You say, well, everyone else is lost. Well, in a way they're lost, but look, if I have, I got a quarter in my pocket, right? This quarter came out of my pocket. This is my quarter. Now, if somehow between now and when I get home, I lose this quarter, it's lost, right? But if I find it, I can find it and I can redeem it as mine again. But if this was never my quarter, this quarter just out on someone's pocket, it was never mine to be lost in the first place. You see how that works? It was never mine in the first place, so it's not lost from me. But if it was mine to begin with and then it was lost through sin, then I can buy it back. That's why I say he only came to redeem those who were lost. They were never found to be lost. My, that's a hard thing. And yet they still had a chance. They had a choice. That's the reason he was the Word made flesh. God was in Christ reconciling the Word to himself. The Word. God's thinking of how he would do it. He expressed himself in Jesus Christ. It was God becoming material. And brother and sister, when he takes preeminence in his bride, in his body, it's God becoming material again. It's his whole thing. All he ever wanted to do, brother and sister, was have fellowship with his family. And yet he had to express all his attributes. And so he let you come in the condition you are so he could express his attributes of healer, of savior, of husband, of father, of all these things that he is. And we look around and see his strain going through every person's life in here. He wanted to save the entire world, but he just came for his family. I was watching this little video someone had made. It's like a social experiment kind of thing. And a Hasidic Jew, one of the old order Jews, you know, they have the locks on the side and the what they wear, their hats, you know, they look Amish is kind of what they look like. And an Arab, a Muslim, and a Muslim had on his thing that he wear on his head, his long flowing gown. And these two were walking side by side through different streets and different neighborhoods in New York City just to see how people would respond. Because here you had a Muslim and a Jew walking side by side, talking just like friends. And these people, one person came up that they showed and was just giving the Jew down the road because he is hanging out with the terrorist. And everyone else was so supportive. They wanted to get their pictures taken. Hey, can I get a picture with you too? Because I want everyone to see this. A Jew and a Muslim walking down the street as friends. And see, brother and sister, I watched that and it was just like something just welled up inside. I say, man, that's just what we all want. We just want people to get along. Can't we just love each other? Can't we just get along? And you know what came out? It was a feeling. This emotion came up and said, my goodness, I wish we could all just be friends like that. And that feeling is what drives political correctness. That feeling is what's going to drive this whole world into a one world order under the Antichrist. Because they're going to use that kind of emotion and say, we can just be friends. But to do that, you still have to have a common enemy. Because we're still an old nature. And those people not born again, they still have an old nature. And the only way you can do that is have one enemy they hate more than they hate that Muslim or that Jew or that Christian. You ever want to be someone's common enemy? There you are. That's who you are. It's the bride of Christ, brother and sister. Sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. I love, don't you just want to love people though? Don't you just want to get along? If we could just lay aside all this divisiveness, we could just lay aside all this racism and just quit, just stop it. But they can't. Because of you and I, brother and sister, we're messing up the whole thing. Because Satan can't have his one world kingdom nice and cozy as long as we're still here. Because that's an Antichrist spirit. And the Spirit of Christ won't shut up and say, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything wrong about what those two gentlemen are doing. I think it's wonderful. My goodness, we should be able to get along. We, you know, okay, I'm going to try and quit here. We should be able to love everybody. I don't care what they're dressed like. If you don't love people, please get to the altar and get your heart right with God. Well, those Muslims are a bunch of terrorists. Brother and sister, there's a lot of Muslims who aren't terrorists, and a lot of them are better people than you and I. It's true. And at least a lot of them are sincere about their religion, which you can't say about most Christians. Here's the point I want to make, and I'm going to try to quit. It takes God's spirit, it takes a new nature to produce what this world is trying to produce. The only way we are ever truly going to be brothers and sisters is when everyone has that new nature. That's when it's going to manifest, brother and sister, because beyond that, it's a human intellect, it's a human emotion, it's human trying to produce a millennium. And it's just not going to work. So don't be fooled by the feelings, brother and sister. Don't be moved by the feelings, because that's what Satan is using to get people all torn up and everything, is just get someone emotionally escalated. Just let it go. Just let it go. Fly above it. And you'll find the love of God through you loves everybody. And that love of God in you, when you love someone like that through him, it just makes you yearn just for to do it more. And you just say, God, just help me. I just want to love people. I just so love this. I want to love people. I want to express the love. You know what I'm talking about. What a great place to be. And then think of Jesus, the love he had in his heart for the entire world. No wonder he went to Calvary. Knowing that the vast majority would turn him down. He said, if I'll do it just for one, I'd do it just for one. And I'm glad he did it for me. Let's stand. When we see God's strains living through us, oh, that looked like Papa. Oh, that looked like Papa. Oh, I see a little Papa. There's Papa right there. That word you said, that was straight from Papa's mouth. That's, brother, sister, that's what he's looking for. He's trying to get the preeminence. That means the control completely just infiltrated into us. Lord willing, we're going to talk about that Sunday. Before I forget, next Thursday, we will not have church. It's canceled. Because I'm going to be gone. Brother Jerry's going to be gone. And so we will not have church Thursday. So if you show up Thursday, you probably be here by yourself. And that's okay. Come in and pray. Preach. I don't care what you do. But you'll probably be by yourself. So I would recommend not coming Thursday. All right? I will be here this Sunday. The next Sunday, Brother Bo will be here. And then I'll be back. I don't know when Brother Jerry's coming back. He might be back by that next weekend. I don't know. But whoever will have church then too. All right? Lord Jesus, we're grateful you would come tonight and speak to us. Just to open your word even more, Lord, and show us how you love us and how you've taken care of us all the way down through time, Lord Jesus. And sometime, Lord, all you want is just a little word back from us, a little fellowship. Just whisper our love secrets to you, Lord, and let you know, Lord, what's going on with us and how we love you and how we want to see more of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Oh, that's such a simple word. It doesn't even come close. It doesn't come close to expressing, Lord Jesus, what's in our hearts. But sometimes it seems that's all we have to do is just say thank you, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Open our hearts to receive more of you, Father. The trials we go through tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, Lord, leading up to Sunday, Lord, let them help to mold us, help them prepare us, Lord, for Sunday morning, so that when you come and speak to us again here, Lord Jesus, our hearts are ready to receive you. We believe this, Lord. We believe that we are rising up above the things of the world. We believe that by faith, Lord, we are soaring up with the eagles. It's not just a nice doctrine, not just something we talk about because we believe the message, but we see the reality of it, Father. Oh, help us open our eyes to see more. Open our eyes, Lord. And Lord Jesus, help us to always soak in the word, never to be a repellent. If it's something we don't understand, Lord Jesus, something that maybe we disagree with, then Lord, help us to have the right attitude. So Lord, at the proper time, you can open our eyes and our ears and our understanding to see the reality. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little song. I love you, my Lord. With all my heart. I love you, my Lord.
I see you.